Hello and welcome back to another season of Against the Law, the ancient history podcast that aims to separate fact from fiction in the ancient world. Today we've got the team together to think of topics for this next season. Join us on this mini-episode to discover what we've come up with. As usual, we've got Xenia, whose area of expertise is the ancient Romans, Meg, who knows all about the ancient Greeks, and Barney, who can tell us all about the ancient Near East. I'm Flo, and I don't know much about the ancient world, so join me as I find out what we're going to learn about in this season of Against the Law. So I hope everyone had a lovely break. You're probably wondering why I've gathered you all here today. It's because I want to know what ideas you've brought to the table for this next season. I'd love to know what we're going to be doing.
Well, I had an idea, and this is a bit selfish, but I did have an idea. I did my PhD in classical reception. So I was hoping we could talk about the reception of the classics in popular culture in the modern world.
Okay, I'm going to have to stop you there. What's reception?
Well, I think it's the year that you do before you go into year one.
Okay, sure.
Is it not the place in the hotel where you go to check in?
No, I think it's what you need, isn't it, for your mobile phone when you've got yourself lost hiking.
Guys, those are all reception, but we're talking about a very specific type of reception. In terms of classical reception, reception basically means the portrayal of the ancient world in later time periods. So if we're talking about reception today, we might talk about some of the sort of books that have recently come out about the ancient world, like Madeline Miller's The Song of Achilles is a reception of that story from the ancient world.
Oh, I get you. Okay, so I know what reception is now. What is classics? I know we talk a lot about classics, but can you break it down for me? What are classics?
So classics can be like super, super broad, but what we're doing here is mainly talking about ancient history, right? So classics usually covers kind of ancient history and Latin and Greek or other languages, the ancient languages that you study. But we want to talk about ancient history. And on this podcast, we talk about ancient history in the kind of period of the Roman Empire, but also the Greeks and also the ancient Near East or ancient Mesopotamia. So that's how we're talking about classics on the podcast.
Okay, cool. And then I think, so we're having a look at the reception of classics in popular culture. So I'm not very cool. I'm not very hip. I don't know if you've caught on to that. It's a big secret of mine. What's popular culture? What's that? Ariana Grande and, you know, pop factor?
I mean, yeah, pretty much. Like, if Ariana Grande did a song called, like, Achilles, that would be classical reception. Or if she, you know, talked about an ancient story or an ancient site, or even like filmed one of her music videos in a Greek temple or something, that would be classical reception. So we're talking about things that are popular today. Those might be quite modern, or those might be kind of things that have happened a while ago but that are still popular today, that still kind of resonate today.
Okay, so pop culture is like music and TV and books, but is there anything else that could be pop culture as well?
Yeah, I think whilst those examples are the really obvious ones, you know, like the movie 300, for example, is a brilliant example of classical reception because it literally depicts ancient Sparta and the wars against the Persians. There's the definition that we should look at across this series, I think, will be a lot broader. So popular culture could also include, you know, references when it comes to the names of food and drink or things you can buy down in the supermarket. It could be how ancient architecture has influenced modern buildings, for example. It could be video games as well. Obviously, those are a massive source of classical reception. It could be design. So in how clothes are cut, for example, that can sometimes be in dialogue with the ancient world. Yeah, just so many, many, many forms of media, but also in other instances of the world around us, you know, the culture in which we live, you know, people interact with that and that's what makes it popular.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I interact with stuff. I'm popular and hip. Okay, cool. So we've got reception of classics in pop culture in the modern world. So what do we mean by modern? Do we mean like right now? Do we mean the past 5 years? What's modern to us?
Well, that is quite a big question, and I think lots of historians kind of disagree, and I'm not going to try and define the modern period for you, Flo, unfortunately. But I think in terms of this podcast and what's relevant for us, we're talking about sort of relatively recent history for the most part. So we might talk about receptions of the ancient world in the media from the 20th and 21st centuries. I think we'll probably focus on that in this series of the podcast. But it's important to say that reception can happen in any period. So, for example, the Romans received the Greeks heavily. So you get a lot of kind of Greek reception going on in the Roman world, only separated by, you know, it could only be sort of a decade or something. But that would still be reception of that time period and of their kind of literature and culture and everything. So it definitely doesn't have to be 90s animated adaptations of Hercules, but it can be.
It should be.
It should be. It will be.
So when we talk about modern in terms of this series, we mean now, or at least relevant to now, and things that we still think are cool, things that are still our Roman Empire.
Yeah, the Roman Empire is this podcast, Roman Empire.
Absolutely. That was a TikTok reference because I'm cool. So reception of classics in popular culture in the modern world is kind of like memes about history from recent eras.
I think that's pretty much it. Meme is a good word to use there, right? In terms of the boring academic definition of meme.
As mimetic, like this sort of, yeah.
Yeah, these cultural recurrences. Because that's what classics is doing here. It's recurring in many different forms.
That's a really good point. And I think maybe something that we could touch on later if we speak about books in particular, is that classics does seem to be having a little bit of a moment at the moment, in the present moment. It's sort of it's almost a meme in and of itself that there are currently loads and loads and loads of novels coming out, sort of adaptations of stories from the ancient world, often about kind of female figures who might have been, like, might not have had their stories told as much in the ancient texts, and they're now kind of getting a chance to have those stories told. Like, there was, I think, Pat Barker's recently written two books about women in the Trojan War, and there's obviously Madeline Miller has written The Song of Achilles very famously, and Circe is another one. So that is real, it's a real sort of happening thing at the moment. So it'd be really interesting to talk about why we think that's happening and why that's sort of a big part of the zeitgeist at the moment.
I think that's really cool because for someone like me who hasn't got a classics education, it would be really good to have some recommendations for pop culture that I can access and learn about the ancient world from.
Absolutely. And I also think that's the interesting thing about even the word reception. And we're getting dangerously close into sort of some pretty academic stuff. But even the word reception, it really suggests that it's about the receiver, right? That you, Flo, for example, are a receiver of the ancient world. I think it's an interesting word because it kind of centres your involvement in it rather than those ancient texts in and of themselves. It's about how you receive it, how you feel about it, and how it sort of still has a role to play in the modern world.
Well, that makes me feel special and good.
Does that mean that we're transmitters of the ancient world?
Ooh, transmitters and receivers.
We're both.
Wow.
I'm verse, like that.
Switch.
But I think one of the things that we were going to do in this series is sort of pitch to each other examples of reception, various receptions of the ancient world that we like or dislike, and see what everybody else thinks. You know, I grew up reading the Horrible Histories books, for example, and I don't think I would have to pitch those particularly hard to people, but I don't know, maybe somebody here hasn't seen a particularly famous film set in the ancient world, or hasn't ever played a video game in the ancient world or something like that. So I think we can have a big chat and try and sell what we like and dislike about classical reception across the series.
Barney, do I have just the right ignorant idiot for you? I haven't seen Gladiator. I haven't read any of the books that I think we might be going to be talking about. But I tell you what I have seen, Horrible Histories. Matthew Bainton, if you ever want to come on this podcast, anytime you can. I mean, the books were great, but they don't have Matthew Bainton in.
Matthew Bainton is really, like, I think we've genuinely mentioned him once a series, if not once an episode. I think he's possibly the only kind of connecting thread between every single series of this podcast.
He's the mascot of Against the Law, is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he doesn't know that, but it is the case.
Yeah, he's also the mascot of my heart.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
Just like Matthew Bainton.
Absolutely. Brilliant. Okay, well, I'm really excited about this. Maybe you guys could pitch me your sort of pop culture, classics reception stuff, and I could decide, you know, whether or not I want to check it out. That might put a bit of pressure on you. So you better pitch well. You better work pitch.
I love it.
In fact, I might put on the pressure now and ask you to do mini pitches of things that you might be talking about in the upcoming season. So Meg, I'm gonna pick on you first.
Well, I've actually already mentioned it. I think the 1997 film Hercules is one of the best films ever made, and certainly one of the great examples of classical reception, or reception of Greek myth. I think it got a generation of children, including me, interested in ancient Greek myth. It's got some absolute bangers, some stone cold bangers in it. I think it's really kind of beautiful. I love that style of like animation that seems to have kind of gone out of fashion a bit, but I think it's really funky and fun. And the main character is called Meg. So that's my pitch.
So would you say that since it inspired you so much and now you've got a relevant PhD, it changed you from a zero to hero?
Oh, yes. Yes, I would.
Just
absolutely.
Like that.
Yeah.
I'm already intrigued. So you're onto a winner there. Barney, you're under pressure now. What are you going to pitch?
Okay, so I think a good example of reception of the ancient world in popular culture is the 2017 video game Assassin's Creed Origins, which I think we'll probably end up talking about towards the back end of the series. Video games, just like film and media, often take place in the ancient world, and Assassin's Creed Origins is set in ancient Egypt. And in this game, you get to play as an assassin who scampers around all over Egypt and interacts with various historical figures. So whilst it is an adventure role-playing game, I suppose, where you take on the role of this assassin, you are also sort of learning a little bit about history. And I think it acts as a pretty good springboard for people to sort of look deeper into things if they want to. I'm not saying that the game, if you were just playing it for stabbing people, is going to teach you, you know, exactly how the pyramids were made or about the different dynasties of ancient Egypt, but it might give people that sort of access to look more into things that they're curious about. And so I think it's a good example to put forward about the reception of the ancient world.
I think so too, because I played Assassin's Creed, but I played Black Flag, which is sort of the piratey one. And that made me have a ton of Wikipedia binges all about pirates in that period of history and that area of the world. So I think that's already got me on board. Xenia, can we have 3 for 3 in interesting pitches, please?
Sure. Well, I'm going to take you back to the time when I was a teenager, sort of 9 to 12. And every Saturday after my ballet lesson, we would go to the library. And that's where I first found Caroline Lawrence's Roman Mystery series. And that definitely encouraged my, I suppose, interest in move into classics later. It was brilliant because it's just like a mystery story, but it's set in, in the Roman world. And, you know, you've got this kind of feisty young girl who's the lead character, and she's got her three friends, and it definitely doesn't shy away from kind of the nastier sides of the Roman world, the uglier sides of it, but it's also written in this kind of wonderful, engaging way, and it's intriguing, and you're following them along and as they solve their mystery and they meet all these really cool different characters. So yeah, that was kind of one of the things that was really influential for me. And I just think it's such a fun way for children, especially, to engage in the ancient world. Children who are really curious and, you know, might then go on holiday to places like that or go and visit ancient sites with this kind of new understanding of how it really felt to live in that time.
Okay, well, you knew you were onto a winner there, because I love Caroline Lawrence. I love mysteries. And I love stories about childhood that pulls on my heartstrings. So that's a 3 for 3 there. So in my mind, that was a pitch perfect. But I won't be so nice as the season progresses. You better keep up the energy. I'm really looking forward to it. So, dear listener, if you have ever wondered why Katy Perry's Dark Horse music video looks the way it does, if you've ever cursed Hermes for delivering a parcel to somebody three towns away instead of your address, if you've ever cleaned some skid marks off the toilet bowl with some Ajax, then this might just be the season for you. So we're really looking forward to it. I hope you are too. And you can catch us next time on Against the Law. If you've enjoyed today's episode, you can always choose to support us on Patreon.
We've got all sorts of tiers for every budget, starting from just £3 a month. Benefits include getting each episode a day early, stickers, and your name in cuneiform.
You can find us on Twitter at Against Law, and you can also find us on TikTok at Against the Law Podcast.
We're also always happy to hear suggestions, questions about the podcast and other requests. If you want to email us, our email is againstthelawpodcast@gmail.com.